Thank you, Brian. You got to figure it out. Thank you. Thank you for your wonderful musical gift for us shared today. And if it's any consolation, I'll share with you a message this afternoon entitled Consolation. The definition from Webster's.com is to the word consolation is the giving of hope and strength in times of grief, stress, or distress, or suffering. How important is that for us? Have any of us been through that? Job himself, after he said, as for me, in Job 19:25, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at the last. But in chapter 22, he was saying to his three friends, discussing with him, they actually felt he was righteous in his own eyes. They were discussing his righteousness, and he said, listen closely to what I'm saying. That's one consolation you can give me. Listening closely is a consolation. It is a comfort to one another for us to listen closely. That is the consolation that we can share with each other. As Job said, he said, bear with me and let me speak. And after I've spoken, then you can resume mocking me. Consolation requires humility, does it not? And we're reminded by Peter in chapter 5, verse 6 and 7, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. God's mighty hand is worth, in wisdom, being humble before. Humble ourselves before his mighty hand so that at the proper time, notice how God is consoling us here. At the proper time, he may exalt you, casting all your cares on him, because he cares for you. I try to remember this scripture all day, every day, throughout the week, throughout all my life. Cast your cares on him because he cares for you. What a passage of consolation that is. And as Paul was consoling those in the Thessalonica in chapter 4, verse 13 through 18, he said, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep. They have lost loved ones. That you may not grieve as others do. Don't grieve as those who have no hope. We have the consolation of God's word. Don't grieve as those who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus himself died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, through him, our elder brother and Savior, through him, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. We declare this to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive and are left until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, and the trumpet of God, and the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ, those who sleep in Jesus, the dead in Christ will rise first. What a moment of consolation that will be. The dead in Christ will rise first, and then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. What kind of consoling moment will that be when we all meet him in the air? And so, what happens after that? Paul consoles us with the promise of God that says, so we will always be with our Lord, the eternal. And David wrote a verse. How many verses of consolation are there in the Psalms? It's an interesting study if you endeavor to dive into that sometime. Psalm 55, verse 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved or shaken. To the point where he even gave to us this revelation in chapter 21, verse 4. The day is coming. Here is a consolation. The day is coming when Revelation 21, verse 4 takes place, when God himself wipes every tear from their eyes. The day is coming when God himself will wipe every tear from our eyes. And there'll be no more death. Death will be no more. No more death. Neither shall be any mourning, no crying, no pain anymore. These passages are from the English Standard Version translation, by the way. No more crying or pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. All of this pain and suffering and affliction that we see around us, that we pray every day for, amongst our brethren, things we see happening in the world, all of this will have passed away. God consoles us with, as we just sang, several songs about our Lord, our shepherd. Our shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. We just sang about him. He leads us beside still waters. He restores my soul. With his comfort and consolation, he restores our soul, leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not only for our good, but for the sake of his great majestic name, because we are his children. Even though I walk through the valley of darkness or the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, God, are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. The rod and staff of the shepherd. And as Peter reminds us in chapter 5, verse 4, and when this, our chief shepherd, appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. And James 1 verse 12 tells us, blessed is that man who remains steadfast through trials. remain steadfast, standing on his promise, steadfast, for when we have stood the test, we will receive the crown of life. What kind of life? Eternal life, of all things. The crown of eternal life will be given to us, that God has promised to those who love him. We're here today because we love him. God has promised us a crown of eternal life for all of those who love him. 1 John 5:14, and this is the confidence that we have toward him. We can be confident in this one consoling factor, this confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. If we ask anything according to his will, and we get to know his will by keeping his commandments, by letting him live in us, right? Through his Spirit. Romans 8:28, we know that everything for those who love God, everything works together for good. For good to those who are called according to his purpose, according to his consolation and consoling purpose. Everything works together for good. Not just a few things, but everything, even the bad things, work together for good in the long term. That's why vision in Proverbs is so important. We're told that without vision, people perish, right? But with vision, we're able to see what God's plans are and how he's working things out here for us below. And Jesus was telling his disciples, I'm telling you, friends, don't be anxious about your life. Don't be anxious about your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, or about your body, what you will put on. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap. They don't have a farm that they set up and plant seeds. They don't have barns to gather and reap crops into, and yet your heavenly Father provides for them and feeds them. Are you not of much more value than they, than the birds of the air? So why are you anxious about this? Can you add one more single hour to your life by worrying? There's a consolation for you. We don't need to worry about anything in our life. Consider the lilies. And I see the word shoshanim in my Bible. The margin says shoshanim is lilies, the Hebrew word for lilies. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't toil or spin. And yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. And Paul was telling those in Philippi chapter 4, verse 6 through 7. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, with our supplication, when we're praying about everything, with supplication, with thanksgiving. How important is it for us to remember to ask for things, to supplicate our God for everything How? With thanksgiving. We're thankful to him and grateful for everything in our lives, for all of his plans. With thanksgiving, we let our requests be made known to God. And then what happens? The peace of God, the consolation from God, which surpasses all understanding, that peace, that consolation will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What consolation is that peace? And David reminded us in Psalm 34, which is a fabulous chapter, verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are toward their cry. God's eyes and his ears are always open and listening to those who are seeking him, who take him as their rock and refuge, who keep his commandments, who follow his ways and his truth, his word, shared with us through his son when he was here, even more so by his life and the sacrifice of his son's life. 2 Thessalonians 2:16 through 17, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God the Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort, he gives us eternal consolation and good hope through grace, may they comfort your hearts with their consolation. Comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. And 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 11, a memory verse. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up. Encourage one another, console one another, share consolation with each other, and build one another up just as you are doing. In Philippians 1, verse 6, Paul was saying, I'm sure of this. This is one thing I'm sure of. That he, God, who began a good work in you, the God who began a good work in you, in us, will bring it to completion. He will bring it to finality at the day of Jesus Christ. We know the day of Jesus Christ is coming, and God will bring his good works to completion in us on that day of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians verse 3 and 4 of chapter 1. Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessing our Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. The God and Father of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction. So, what is one of the reasons he comforts and consoles us in our affliction? So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the same comfort with which we ourselves are comforted or consoled. With that same consolation. So how can we practice this consolation? Romans 12, verse 15 is the answer. When we see someone suffering with affliction, our grief or loss. Romans 12:15 tells us we can practice this consolation by doing what? Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. There is nothing more consoling than someone who can weep with you when you are in grief. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Romans 8, again, verse 38 and 39. Paul says, I'm sure that neither life nor death, nor angels nor rulers, things present or things to come, nor powers, height or depth, nothing in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. What a consoling promise of consolation that is. Nothing in the universe can separate us from the love of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. When Jesus was here talking with his disciples in John chapter 14, verse 16 and 17, he said, I'll ask the Father. He said, I'll ask my Father, and he will give you another helper. Jesus was telling them about the fact that he was going to have to go away to accomplish the mission that his Father sent him for. He said, the Father will send you in my name the Helper, the Holy Spirit, and he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I've said to you. God's Spirit brings to us all the things that Jesus said to us and reminds us of the words that he shared with his disciples that we can even read today, because he preserved his word in a book for us that we read every day, that brings to our remembrance the Spirit. And he said to his disciples, peace I leave with you. He was giving them this consolation. My peace I give to you. Not like the world gives to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be afraid. Because I give you my peace. I'm consoling you with my peace and telling you of the promises of his Father. We can see the consoling attitude of Jesus when they were in Luke chapter 18, the chapter about the little children being brought to Jesus. They were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. And when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called to them, saying, let the little children come to me. Let them come to me, and don't hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall not enter it. He was consoling these little children, and he was using them as an example of his consolation and his promise of what it would take for us to be humbled enough to enter his kingdom. And we can stand on God's promise. For example, another one in Jeremiah 29:11. For I know, God says through Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. He was telling this to his people who were stuck in Babylon. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not evil, to give you a future and a hope. God was consoling them in exile. I have plans to give you a future and a hope. There was another man who was consoled, whose name was Simeon. Consoled by the Spirit of God and a little child, just like the ones Jesus was mentioning to us in Luke 18. There was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. This man was waiting for Israel to be consoled, their complete consolation of his nation. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by God's Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. And what happened to him? He was able to meet with Mary and take a little infant into his arms. He took this little infant, Christ, Jesus Christ, into his arms and was consoling this baby who, in fact, was consoling him. He said, I saw the consolation of Israel in this little child. And he thanked God that God let him see and hold this little child before his life was over. We can bank on the promises God gives us in Isaiah 40, verse 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says God. Your God says, comfort my people. Give them the consolation of these promises. If you want to look up consolation, you'll find over 100 verses that point to this concept in the Bible. Comfort my people, says the Lord your God. Isaiah 40, verse 1. Verse 29 and 31 of the same chapter. God says, comfort my people, and because he gives power to the faint. To him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths can faint and be weary, and young men can fall exhausted. But those who wait on the Lord, that's who we are. That's what we do. We are those waiting for the consolation of Israel. We are those waiting for the Lord, coming together on his holy Sabbath day every week, waiting for his consolation. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They'll run and not be weary, and they'll walk and not faint. Chapter 41 of Isaiah, verse 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Another consoling promise. I, God, am with you. Don't be dismayed, for I am your God. God is telling his people, I am your God. He's telling us this promise of consolation. I am your God. And I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So we can take with us this promise of consolation, knowing that everything we go through in the next week, in these months before the holy days, in the next few years of our lives, that God is with us. He says he is our God, and that he will hold us up with his righteous right hand. He takes us by his right hand. So in today's trying times, as things get more difficult, as Jesus revealed to us that they would in Matthew, that there's no better place for us to turn for consolation than to the word of the God, our God of all comfort, our God, the God of all consolation.